they're going to come in with their own attachment styles. Then you have to negotiate that. Once you negotiate that, then you actually have to start having conversations, and the conversations never end because people always change. And if people are always changing, you know, how are we going to navigate this? And if we have to navigate this, then we have to navigate all the other constellations of their networks of people and their relationships.
My name is Abby, and I'm the voice behind the Evolving Love Project. In this podcast, my husband and I deep dive into the topics of non-monogamy and polyamory, drawing from our experiences of being consensually non-monogamous for almost a decade.
My name is Liam. Whether you're monogamous, polyamorous, curious, or anything in between, we invite you to join us for this conversation.
Let's begin. It was our 9-year wedding anniversary yesterday. Can you even believe it?
I can believe it. It was 9 years.
9 years ago.
I know. We were in a barn that we had flipped from, I guess like a working barn at a property at this cute little art gallery. And yeah, what a time.
It was so beautiful. And we remember that beautiful flower installation that we had hanging from the ceiling. It was 40 meters long and it was above our one big table that we had, and it was just gorgeous. I have some friends that are very talented florists, and it was like the most gorgeous flower installation.
Yeah, we decided to do this DIY flower installation because I think that was the time where we were deep into Pinterest, and obviously it was the wedding, so we were like, oh, this is what we do. We like get really into Pinterest, and because I'm a musician, and at the time I'd played a lot of weddings, so I'd had the fortune to actually check out, you know, what looks cool and had all these ideas. And then because we had friends who were florists, we're like, let's just do one long table for 120 people, and we're going to get as many flowers as possible and do a hanging flower installation down the whole length of the table.
It was so beautiful. It was overwhelming, but we didn't realize that it was going to take us 10 hours. This is the day before the wedding. Of course, there's always last minute things to organize, errands to run. We had our whole bridal team in there. Yeah. And
we had scaffolding because it was so high up to hang all the flowers. We had scaffolding. And I remember you were up on the scaffolding hanging little bunches of flowers by like string from the ceiling. And you managed it. It was fishing wire because I remember you poked yourself in the eye.
I know.
The day before our wedding was fishing wire.
I did. And my eye was all red and it was watering. And I remember, and I just remember being so tired, but also so excited. And then hurt my eye and just sitting and resting. Everything was fine. It repaired itself by the next day. But I think from that moment you were like, Abby, get down off the ladder. No more ladder for you. You're getting married tomorrow. It was like,
yeah, let someone else do it. But we did manage to spend an insane amount of time on this flower installation. It was totally worth it. And it looked just absolutely epic. Maybe we'll post a photo for the Substack subscribers.
Oh, gosh, it was so beautiful. And you were just so involved with everything. I've heard from friends over the years, they're like, oh, I'm planning the whole wedding, or my husband just does nothing. You were like, you were the wedding planner.
Well, I mean, at that point, I'd probably played at a few hundred weddings.
Yes.
So I was lucky enough to kind of see what makes people super stressed in a wedding environment, which is a lot of things. But oftentimes the things that people get most stressed about are just the things that don't matter, you know. But the things that we managed to put all our efforts into were the things that we really cared about, which is our friends having an awesome time, having the people that we really loved in the room celebrating with us, but also just kind of doing some fun aesthetic things our way, but also completely DIY.
Yeah, it was ridiculously beautiful. It was so gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, so it was our 9-year wedding anniversary, and I've already started thinking about next year.
Whoa.
Maybe a little like vow renewal situation.
Yeah, I could get amongst that.
Yeah.
I like the vow renewal things. I was worried you were about to say, I'm already thinking about my next wedding. I was like, oh my gosh.
Who am I marrying? What?
I don't know.
What, adding someone into the relationship?
Yeah, maybe it could be a thruple wedding.
No, I'm happy. I'm happy with where we're at. I think we've got a good thing going as far as marriage is concerned. And I wouldn't
maybe
mind
the renewal.
Renewing our vows because I think it would be so beautiful to have our son there.
Oh, that'll be so cute.
And to have something gorgeous that incorporates him, in our
Would we have another ring? Would he carry the like an extra ring?
Like for himself?
No, for us. Oh, okay. Like, do we? Like, how does it work with a renewal?
I always just think of like you mean him. Like, we're like the three musketeers, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like a little. A
I
little
feel like
crew.
He'd want to be included. He'd be like, "Where's my wedding ring?"
Yeah, we could get him a ring for sure. We could all have matching rings. That
oh
could
my
be
God,
cute.
It's so cute. Anyway, it's just been lovely to think about. It's yeah. sort of coming into my. It's been creeping into my consciousness a little bit that next year will be 10 years. Mm. I'd love to do something really special to honor our relationship.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. And it does feel.
And we have new friends.
Well,
and,
yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But it feels like yesterday that it really does feel so recent that we got married, which is crazy.
I know. And I'm so terrible because I never sent out the thank yous.
Oh, my God. That's been the black cloud that has never lifted.
It's been the black cloud of mine that has never gone away. And then I just got to a point where I just had to let it go. It had just been too long.
Yeah, but you still think about it.
Still think about it. So
okay, maybe at the 10th, on our 10th anniversary, you can actually send out thank you letters to everyone.
Well, I just remember it was such a big thing having the wedding and then, you know, you have the honeymoon and all of that. And then we were meant to be moving straight back to New York immediately. But then we were having visa issues and we ended up in Sydney for about, I can't remember, 6 or 7 months after we got married. And life was just chaotic. And, you know, I'm a very like in the moment person. I just felt like, you know, the wedding had happened. We thanked everyone on the night.
Yeah.
It's just more trees.
It's more trees.
You know,
okay, let's go with that.
We're going with that.
And this was before, I think, electronic, like in, like maybe, I don't know, is that giving us too much leeway here?
I don't know. Look, I think it was just a bit of a black cloud, but.
Well, I'm glad we're addressing it now. Hopefully that rectifies it.
I know.
So if you did come to our wedding, dear listeners, and you didn't receive a thank you card, we want you to know that we do love and appreciate you and thank you. Thank you for that gift.
No, we did message people.
Yeah.
But we just didn't do the, like, we were in touch with everyone, but
we
didn't do
send
the
like
official,
a,
like,
yeah.
with the photo.
A hand carved piece of wood with that. Our faces in it and their
didn't
faces
we have
in it.
Wood invitations.
We did have wood invites.
We were full Pinterest.
Yeah, we went a little hard on
that. I wore a flower crown.
Yeah, you did. I mean, that was cool.
Beautiful.
Do people still wear flower crowns?
I don't think so. I think flower crowns.
Is that a millennial thing?
I think, yeah, around those years, 2015.
What are
I
the
think
Gen Zers doing for their weddings?
I don't know. Wearing sneakers.
Because I'm out of the wedding game, so I don't play weddings anymore.
Wearing sneakers, wearing like thin little black glasses.
Ooh, cool.
And like a lingerie dress with straps or something.
Oh, maybe. Oh, that sounds
with
good.
With a sweater tied around your waist. I don't know.
Listen to that. I like the lingerie wedding vibe for maybe the 10th anniversary.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we should have like a theme.
Like a hot theme.
Yeah. Like everyone dresses up. Or like...
Maybe we should have two. I mean, this is getting extravagant, but maybe we should have like a party wedding, like renewal, and then just like a cute family thing.
So we're having two. We're having the G-rated one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
then we're having another type of.
And then a fun.
And then a celebration.
Yeah.
Okay, this is turning into something else.
Okay.
But it's very interesting because I often get asked, you know, you're non-monogamous. Why did you get married? Like, what's the point of that? Or, you know, do you feel like because you're non-monogamous or like, are you non-monogamous because you can't commit? Which I find so interesting. Like, people just have such a different way of thinking about this because I feel so deeply committed to you in a way that is just sort of transcends some of
label
the,
of marriage.
Yeah, the like stereotype or like what's expected of, you know, a long-term, you know, romantic life partnership. I feel like my commitment to you sort of runs deeper than that. I don't know.
Well, I feel like even if we weren't married,
no shade on monogamous relationships, but
no, of course.
You know
but
what I mean?
Mean, even if we didn't have the label of marriage, we would still, I would assume we would still feel that same level of commitment. Like I did propose very early on in our relationship. So we've always been at the very least basically engaged or married for our whole relationship. We had a long engagement.
We did. You proposed after 9 months.
Straight out the gate, baby.
In an incredibly epic way.
We should save it.
Okay. Yeah, it was so epic.
Yeah, maybe we could do that in another episode.
But also, you and I have just been so intense about each other from the moment that we got together. Mm. It was just like the most extreme, like, you know, looking back at it, people would be like, that's a red flag, or like, you guys are love bombing each other, mm. or you should have some space. Like, it was like no space, full on obsession together all of the time.
We are the poster children for love bombing.
We have love bombed each other, but it still feels like that. We've over 12 years been together now.
Yeah.
And I still just.
Yeah. Well, we talk.
I'm in your DMs all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane the amount of messages that are sent and the amount of photos. I think
we're in touch constantly.
I think last time I checked, there were like 11,000 photos in our WhatsApp message feed.
And that is probably unhealthy. Just from a short amount of time as well.
Yeah, that's probably the last like 2 years because I got a new phone.
We have to clean them out, you know?
We do.
So, yeah, it's really interesting. I always find it fascinating. People are like, oh, do you think you're non-monogamous because like there's like commitment issues?
Mm. Well, we did ask Jessica Fern when I remember we talked to her about whether like our relationship, are we unhealthily codependent on each other? And she said, well, actually, there's a difference between codependence and interdependence.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah.
And I thought that was beautiful because I would like to think that maybe now we've transitioned into a state of beautiful interdependence.
To be honest, I don't even care if it's like technically unhealthy. Like it works for us.
Yeah.
Like we're happy.
Yeah, we'll just roll with
it. We're the ones in the marriage.
It's true.
So I don't care.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
We give each other space.
We do.
In our own way.
We do.
But we are a very, very close couple.
We do. And the way that we celebrated our anniversary this year was a little bit different. And I remember the last big holiday or the last big celebration for like relationships, if you want to call it a celebration, was Valentine's Day. And we spent that with Christopher Ryan.
That was incredible.
That was incredible. And this year we spent, because obviously we're in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So in America, the time difference is different.
Mm-hmm.
So technically yesterday was our wedding anniversary,
mm-hmm.
but also this morning, it was also our wedding anniversary in America.
Yes.
And we spent both our Australian wedding anniversary mm-hmm. with an incredible podcast guest. And then this morning, we spent our American anniversary with another amazing podcast guest.
I know.
Should we share the... Because we are very excited. And I must admit, this is within less than 48 hours. This is our third podcast that we're recording. Mm. But I certainly feel energized from these amazing conversations.
Completely energized. It's not often that we'll record podcasts so back to back like this, but for some reason it's just worked out with our scheduling for this week. And yeah, yesterday we had the incredible Andrew Gerza, who hosts the podcast Disability After Dark.
Mm.
He's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
He has cerebral palsy.
Yep.
He is in an electric chair and he's a voice for, sex positivity and sharing about, you know, people with disabilities being sexual beings and, you know, his own lived experience with that. And we had the most beautiful conversation with him. He's wickedly funny and
just
so smart.
Unbelievably funny, unbelievably smart, unbelievably generous. And it was we both found it a very emotional conversation in ways that were unexpected and disarming. And yeah, I really cannot wait to share that episode because I feel that it is, you know, required listening for basically anyone.
Everybody.
You know, I really think that was quite a remarkable conversation to be able to have with a really remarkable person. And then we backed it up this morning with another unbelievable guest. I feel like we are so privileged that we are able to talk with people that we admire and just really just wanted to hang out with as well.
people whose work that we've followed for such a long time. It was the incredible Lena Dune, who, for those of you on Instagram, you might have seen, I've been sharing her Instagram page for a long time, Ask a Sub. So she's a writer on Substack. She has her own podcast and she shares a lot about BDSM and kink dynamics and fake doms and what to look out for and so many different things. She's been an amazing source of laughter and education, you know, for Liam and I over the years. And
for so many people. I mean, she also had her initial Instagram account got deleted at 120,000 followers.
Yeah.
Basically because of censorship.
Yeah.
It was apparently too naughty for Instagram.
Oh.
Which was totally not true. But and now she's got a new one, but she's also got her writing all over Substack. Now she has an amazing podcast as well. And just by coincidence, she had interviewed Andrew Gerza. I think she released her episode with him a week before, and both of them we've had in the pipeline for months now. So it was hilarious timing.
It was so fun. And then we were chatting with Andrew and we were like, oh, we've got, you know, Lena Dune coming on tomorrow. And he was like, oh, I love Lena. Give her my love. And, you know, say hi. And
yeah, it was beautiful. It's like this beautiful kind of sex positive podcast legends just uniting. It was just... Yeah. It was just lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that podcast, both of those podcasts will be out within the next month.
Yeah. And both of them invited us on their podcast too.
Yeah. So we'll be jumping on theirs. And it's just a great excuse. Like at the end of both conversations, I was like, God, I just want to keep hanging out.
Oh,
it was hard.
And you can feel it. You can feel it with people because when you're having this podcast, you get so into the conversation. You share so many, you know, personal things and just connect in this way. And then, you know, the podcast time's ending and, we finish up and we do the like, goodbye, thanks for being on the podcast. And then, you know, we stay online and we always, you know, have a chat. And I just feel like we've just been so lucky to have been meeting these awesome people. I'm like, man, I don't want this chat to end. Like, I wish that we could go out for dinner. Like, we're all like best friends and there's like follow-up messages and group chat start and, you know, it's really lovely. Like Megan Basher, who,
of course,
last year had her on the podcast, like her and I leave each other voice memos. Like she updates me on like her retreats and what she's doing and just in the know and a whole bunch of the guests. And it's just beautiful.
Mm. And we will be also having Molly Roden-Winter back on the podcast.
With her husband
this time.
Yes.
Which is going to offer a really interesting perspective. Lots of people have reached out to us about that episode and really connected with her and her honesty and just the way that she thinks about motherhood and non-monogamy. Of course, the book that she wrote, also one of the leading characters in that is her husband.
Yes.
So it's going to be very interesting to have both of them on the podcast. And the reason... one of the reasons that they're coming back on is not just for the conversation, but also because their book, Molly's book, More, is getting released in Australia.
Yes. And Molly messaged me early this morning. She was like, Abby, coming on the morning show, like it's going to be on at 10:15 this morning on Channel 7. So I checked it out this morning. I hit record.
Oh, did you watch it?
I did. I watched half of it, but I was at work. So I watched a little bit of it and then I just hit screen record. So I think I'll probably share that on my Instagram stories. From what I saw, the hosts were great.
Larry Emder.
Yeah. Look, I mean.
I feel like he's all right.
Look, I think people are moving with the tide. People are changing. Like, I think it is more of a conservative station, I think. But they were really respectful. And of course, they asked questions like, don't you feel lonely when your husband is out on a date or something like that? But there wasn't any, they weren't baiting her. They weren't
throwing shade.
They were not throwing shade at all. And of course, Molly is just so articulate.
Oh, she's, and what a spokeswoman.
Yeah.
I don't know if she said to us, she didn't set out to be the spokesperson for non-monogamy, but she has kind of accidentally found herself in that role and she's brilliant at it.
Yeah, she's an absolute badass.
So speaking of spokespersons or spokespeople for monogamy, we wanted to talk about some of the recent things that have been said within the broader discourse around non-monogamy, particularly amongst you know, some of the more prominent podcasters. To keep on listening to this premium episode of the Evolving Love podcast, you can sign up to our premium subscriber feed at evolvingloveproject.substack.com.
Paid subscribers receive 2 extra podcast episodes each month and access to my full writing archive. So if you would like to gain exclusive access, you can sign up at the link in the show notes or at evolvingloveproject.substack.com.